I'm sorry for the delay. These are clearly very complicated issues that we're dealing with, and it appears to me, having talked to a number of the parties with significant interest in the matter, that we have yet to come to a way forward that will be doable and will likely lead us to an opportunity for a reasoned decision with all the issues worked out. So I'm afraid that we will have to stop discussion of ractopamine at this moment. We will take it up again tomorrow morning with your indulgence. And I certainly hope that all the parties with significant issues in the matter can work together to come to some compromise, negotiate a compromise solution that will be the best solution for the commission as a whole. Can the commission agree with this? I see no flags. Thank you very much, and I wish the very best of will and spirit of compromise to those parties with interest in this issue. I know that we all have interest in this issue, but there will be smaller groups working to try to craft a proposal for a way forward. I'll next give the microphone to the Secretariat for some housekeeping issues that will include a night session, since we had arranged for the possibility of an evening session for the Commission with interpretation. We would like to have one tonight because we're running a little bit late, ractopamine having taken up some of our time, and he has some other items to inform you of as well. Secretary.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I wanted to say that I have some good news and some bad news. You've already said the bad news, so I only remain with the good news. That's good. So the night session will stop at 5:30. Tonight we have a break of half an hour, start again at 6 o'clock. The bar in the flag room and the flag hall downstairs will be open until 9:30. So our night session will run until 9 o'clock, so even afterwards we'll still be able to have a drink or something to eat. That was the part of the good news. Also good news is we have 122 members in the room plus one member organization. That is quite a lot. That's very good. And we have a provisional list of participants at the document desk, which you are please ask to look at and check whether your data is correct. And if there's any problem, please pass the comments to the Secretariat. The last announcement is that all member countries of the Coordinating Committee for Africa are invited to a meeting tomorrow, Wednesday, 1st July 2009, in the Ethiopia room at 8:30 a.m. And the last announcement is that just before we close at 5:30, we're going to give the results for the nomination of the chairperson of the commission. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Secretary. We will turn our attention next to agenda item number 6. And as the commission will recall, it is our practice to allow the vice chairs. We have three, as you know, Mr. Knut Ostergaard from Denmark, Mr. Ben Maniendo from Uganda, and Mr. Dave from India. Each of them will have an opportunity to chair part of this commission session. We are at the point in the commission where the chair will be taken by Mr. Knut Ostergaard from Denmark. Thank you, and please welcome Mr. Ostergaard to the chair.
Good afternoon, everybody. I don't think I should spend any words introducing myself because our chair, Karen Hulebeck, already did that both on the beginning of the session and she did it already again. So everybody knows who I am and where I come from. As Karen Hulebeck was mentioning, I'm going to chair agenda points 6 to 10. And obviously, we have some time to catch up, so I really hope that the whole Commission will help me going through these agenda points as fast as possible. It is certainly in the interest of all of us. Before we start on agenda item 6, I would just like to make one more personal comment. That is that I am one of the I represent a country, one of the many that can never read a document in their own language or can never speak their own language. I'm not going to raise the issue of languages here. I just want to say that because I'm in the situation that I speak a foreign language, you might catch me on some moments looking for a word or looking for the very proper expression of something. So I really bear for your indulgence if I make small mistakes in that respect. I hope you can live with that. That is the condition for people like me. Many of us, many delegations are in the same situation. Just to make sure that this is how it is. This is what we have to work with. Okay. After that, we turn to agenda item 6, which is the proposed draft standards and related text for adoption at step 5. That's why I made the confusion about the numbers. The document for that item is Alinorm 09/32/6, and it's there's also an A document with the same number. Those are which contains comments from member states. Those are the documents that we are going to look at. These proposals has, as should be, been discussed in the executive committee, who recommends the adoption of all of them. So I would advise delegations to look into the report from the executive committee if they want to see what conclusions has been adopted in the executive committee. But obviously, we're going to take them one by one for clarity, although I hope that we are not going to have any discussion about them because they have been taken care of by the executive committee and they have, as I mentioned already, recommended the adoption of them. But if we follow the list in the Alinorm, which I just mentioned, we can begin with the proposal for draft regional standard for edible sago flour, which has been proposed by the, or worked out by the Coordinating Committee for Asia. And the Asian region has agreed on a proposed draft regional standard. And there was no opposition, no problems with that standard in the executive committee. So my question to the Commission is whether they can accept this proposal from the Asian Committee. If that is the case, we can easily move on to the next agenda item. I see no no flags on that one, so this is adopted. The next proposal is from the Committee on Fats and Oils, where there has been some there still are some outstanding issues in the committee on this proposal, but the necessary steps to take according to the procedures has been taken in that committee, and what we are going to decide on today is the amendments to the Code of Practice for the Storage of Transport of Edible Fats and Oils in Bulk. It is the proposed draft criteria to accept the accessibility of substances for inclusion in the list of acceptable previous cargoes. That this is the only issue that is really up for adoption now. And I ask the Commission to simply adopt that proposal at step 5. There's a flag from the United States of America, please.
Thank you, Chair. The U.S. does support continuing work on the draft criteria. However, we would recommend that the Commission instruct the Codex Committee on Fats and Oils to stop work on the elaboration of a positive list of acceptable previous cargoes for two reasons. First of all, we believe that it is more efficient to develop criteria and that the proposed draft criteria, along with the current list of banned substance, immediate previous cargos, are adequate to meet the dual mission of Codex, protecting consumer health and ensuring fair trade. Secondly, there's just no mechanism within our programs that allows for lists to be created and maintained based on risk analysis principles. So the existence of a list is very difficult to maintain. The committee has been working on this for many years, and we believe that they do not need to continue working on that and that the criteria that is at step five is sufficient. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you to the United States. Are there other comments to this proposal? That doesn't seem to be the case. Okay, we see Canada, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just briefly, we would agree with the intervention just made by the U.S. We too would see great merit in a focus on criteria as opposed to an acceptability list as for the reasons mentioned by the U.S. Thank you.
Thank you. EC, I give the floor to the EC, please.
Muchas gracias, señor presidente. La comunidad europea apoya la aprobación en el trámite 5 de los criterios, pero consideramos que en la agenda de este comité no estamos discutiendo sobre la lista de los cargos anteriores y, por lo tanto, creemos que la discusión sobre las listas tiene que tener lugar en la reunión del CODES sobre grasas y aceites y, por lo tanto, en esta sesión nos debemos limitar a hablar de los criterios. Muchas gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, EC. There's also a request for intervention from Malaysia. Malaysia, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, distinguished delegates. Speaking as the Chair of the Codex Committee on Fats and Oils, firstly, I would like to thank the United States of America for the comments on this draft amendment to the Code of Practice for the Storage and Transport of Edible Oils and Fat, i.e. the proposed draft criteria to assess the acceptability of substances for inclusion in a list of acceptable cargoes at Step 5. I note that the United States does not oppose the advancement of the proposed draft criteria at Step 5. Here, I would like to draw the attention to the advice from the Executive Committee, which has earlier discussed this issue to some extent, and has encouraged the Codex Committee on Fats and Oils to finalize its work on the list at its next session in 2011, while noting that, in general, the development of such lists could delay the progress of Codex work. I did earlier make an intervention during agenda item 3 regarding report of the CCXZAC, where there were two points. First, scientific advice had only been provided in 2006. Hence, the Codex Committee on Fats and Oils should have full opportunity to discuss this matter further and see how best they could resolve this matter. And secondly, with regards to this criteria used in critical review regarding 5 years timeline, there needs to be some degree of flexibility where the committee actually meets once in 2 years. Having said that, I would like to draw the attention of the Commission that this draft and proposed draft list of acceptable previous cargoes were deliberated at length at the last session of the Codex Committee on Fats and Oils. The committee agreed to return the proposed draft list to Step 3 and to retain the draft list at Step 7, as well as to seek government comments on the establishment of mechanisms and procedures that could be used to apply the criteria to assess the acceptability of substances as previous cargoes using the working principles of risk analysis, including the evaluation of substances without ADI, a modus operandi to address this issue in a timely manner, and the process for inclusion of new substances based on proposals from members arising from new scientific information and data. From what I have just summarized, it is clear that there was substantial progress on this issue at the last session of the Codex Committee on Fats and Oils. Hence, it is not necessary to debate on these two lists of acceptable cargoes in the Commission, as these items will be further deliberated at the next session of the Codex Committee on Fats and Oils, where member countries will have the opportunity to further deliberate on this issue. With that, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Malaysia. Malaysia, Chair of the Committee, for explaining quite explicitly what is happening, what's going on, and also asking for a certain flexibility in relation to what has been recommended by the Executive Committee. I think we take note of that. And I see there's also a wish for speaking from New Zealand. New Zealand, please.
From the report back from the Chair of the Committee, Malaysia, I think the issue here really revolves around the practicalities of the Commission or its subsidiary bodies developing and maintaining an up-to-date list of previous cargoes. That is really the issue that we are concerned with. I think we can, as previous speakers have indicated, support the advancement of the criteria for assessment, and I think that is consistent with the principles and codex. The issue is one of the practicalities of maintaining a list, and that's why I think, you know, we do have some concerns about engaging in this particular activity, not the least because it is not merely a question of developing an initial list, but also the availability of resources for maintaining and updating those lists on a regular basis. So I think we need to think hard about embarking in this area where there is, you know, not merely an initial effort required, but also an ongoing requirement. Thank you.
Thank you, New Zealand. I don't see any more flags, so I think I will try to suggest a conclusion on this agenda item. Basically, I don't hear any opposition to adopting the criteria, the draft criteria which has been proposed. There are certain concerns about the further work, the further issues that is on the agenda for the Fats and Oil Committee. But it has also been explained by the chair of the committee that these issues are being dealt with thoroughly in the committee. And I think it would be fair to conclude that we adopt the draft criteria and we take note of the concerns that has been expressed by certain delegations. And certainly these concerns will be noted by the chair of the committee and also all other participants in the committee. And I'm sure the delegations having these concerns will raise them in the further work of the committee. So I hope the commission can accept that we adopt the draft criteria and say this is the final say of this agenda point. I see no objection to that, so that is my conclusion. Thank you very much. Then we move on to the second item of the Fats and Oils Committee, which is a proposed draft amendment to the standards for named oil, named vegetable oil, inclusion of palm kernel oil and palm in the standards. There has been no comments on this standard in the Executive Committee, and I hope it means that this commission can accept the proposal so we can move forward immediately. I look around, I see no flags, so I take it that we can draw the conclusion I just proposed. So this is adopted. Thank you very much. The next committee is the Committee on Pesticide Residues, where we also have two proposals or two agenda items, which the first one is the proposed draft residue limits for pesticides at step 5, where I would like to ask the Commission if there are any comments for this issue. I see a flag from the EC. The EC, please.
Muchas gracias, señor presidente.
La Comunidad Europea apoya la aprobación para la mayoría de los anteproyectos de LMRs para los plaguicidas que están siendo considerados en esta sesión de la Comisión del Codex Alimentarius. Sin embargo, la Comunidad Europea tiene todavía algunas preocupaciones sobre alguno de los LMRs para determinadas combinaciones de plaguicidas y productos. Las combinaciones de plaguicidas y productos para los cuales la Comunidad Europea no apoya su aprobación en el trámite 5, así como las respectivas justificaciones, pueden encontrarse en el documento LIM número 16. Sin embargo, en interés del progreso de estos LMRs, la Comunidad Europea no se opone a su aprobación, pero mantiene su reserva sobre esta decisión y solicita que dicha reserva se incluya en el informe de esta sesión de la Comisión del Códex. Asimismo, la Comunidad Europea quisiera informarles que ha enviado a la Secretaría del Códex y al JMPR los formularios para expresar preocupaciones para metomilo y tebuconazol. Muchas gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, EC. I also see a flag from Norway. Norway, please.
Thank you, Chair. As Norway also had some reservations at the last committee meeting for pesticide residues, we will also maintain these reservations. And to save time, I will just refer to what was said by the European Commission and to their written comments. Please note our reservations also. Thank you.
Thank you, Norway. I don't see any other flags in the room. So I think we can conclude, but I appreciate very much that the concerns that has been expressed by the EC and by Norway are reservations which can be taken on board in the report of the Commission, and it has been explicitly stressed or explained by the EC and Norway that they don't mean to block these. So thank you very much for that, and we will make sure that their reservations are being taken on board in the report. So we have adopted this proposal for amendment of the limits, of the residue limits. The next point on the agenda is also pesticide committee issue, the proposed draft revision of the codex classification of foods and animal feeds. There is a unanimous support for that in the pesticide committee, and I have seen no remark from the executive committee, so I hope that the commission can simply adopt this proposal. I see no flags, so I take that for granted, so this proposal is also adopted at step 5. Thank you very much. Then we move on to the Codex Committee on Residues of Veterinary Drugs in Foods, where we have the proposed draft maximum residue limits for veterinary drugs. And again, I can say that there has been support for this proposal in the executive committee. There seems to be certain outstanding issues, but they will are certainly up for further discussion and consideration in the pesticide committee. So I hope the commission can accept the proposal and we adopt it at step 5. There is a comment from the EC. EC, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As for tilmycosin, we expressed concerns in the last session of the CCRVDF because we do have some intake concerns, and I don't go into any technical details in this meeting, but we would appreciate if you could record our reservation to the adoption of the MRLs for tilmycosin in the report. Thank you.
Thank you, EC. I see Norway. Norway, please.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Norway has the same situation. We have also made reservations earlier concerning tilmycosin, so please note that we will maintain our reservation from the last committee meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Norway. I don't see other flags, and we have the same situation as we had on the pesticide residues. There are certain concerns being expressed by the EC and by Norway, and we will certainly take note of that, their reservations in the report. So I think we can declare this proposal for adopted at step 5. And that was the last proposal from the step 5 cases, and that means we have finalized, I think we could say in a very short time, the agenda 5 on for the Codex Commission. So I thank everybody for a very positive participating in that one. Thank you. Then we said, sorry, I make confusion. I still keep talking about agenda item 5. I mean step 5. It was agenda 6 we finalized. Sorry for the confusion. So that means we move to agenda item 7 on the agenda, which is revocation of existing codex standards and related text. And just some few introducing remarks. We don't have any formal procedure to revoke proposals from the codex system, but the commission has the power to decide. And different proposals, different standards has been recommended for revocation by committees. And this proposal has been up for discussion in the executive committee, where there was full support for the list of revocation. The list is found in Alinorm 09/32/7. And I would suggest on this one, which I consider to be absolutely uncontroversial, that we simply take them en bloc. And if the Commission can accept this, we can, without going one by one, simply adopt that the proposed standards are being revoked from the long list of existing standards in the Codex system. And I don't see any objections around in the room. That means we can do as I proposed, simply adopt the revocation of the standards listed in the document. So I thank the Commission very much for helpful cooperation. And then we can move on to the next item, which is number 8, amendments to the Codex standards and related texts. This item is on the agenda because our secretariat permanently keep under review all the codex texts and try to keep a good eye on whether they are consistent because certain changes might have to be changed all the time because every time we make new decisions, there might be little things that need to be edited either of an editorial nature or some might be of a more than editorial nature. So therefore, on this basis, the secretariat has prepared the document, which is to be found in Alimom 09/32/8. And if you look into that, you will see that the document contains three parts where the commission should either give its advice or should take decisions on specific issues. There's a part one, editorial amendments to standards and related texts. There's a part two, text for revision or revocation, where we have to choose which of them we want to proceed with. And the last one is amendments to certain contaminant issues. It's a more or less a housekeeping agenda, but still a decision by the Commission is needed on certain issues. So this is a point where the Commission is invited to either take notes or to take the relevant decisions. It is a document that comes from the Secretariat and not from any of the subsidiary committees of the Commission, and therefore I would ask the Secretariat to guide us through the document because they know all the details about it, and then we will hopefully in a very short time draw the necessary conclusions and take those points which are for information, just take them for information. So I would certainly recommend delegations to look into the report of the Executive Committee where these items has been discussed thoroughly. So this is where we are going to base our going through the document. So please, Secretariat.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, for the introduction of the document. Yes, as a matter of fact, you should have document I Norm 09328. In front of you, and as well the report of the 62nd session of the Executive Committee, I norm 09323. Starting from paragraph 45, the committee held an extensive discussion on all these amendments, and I am trying to go quickly as time is of a consideration. The first item concerns the reference to acceptance or voluntary application in annexes and codex standards. This was an issue that we had raised last year based on the knowledge that the acceptance procedure has been abolished in 2005. There were still a certain number of codex standards which made reference to the acceptance procedure. You can see the relevant statement that we found under point 1.2 in the ALI norm 09328. The statement on acceptance reading, the annex to this standard contains provisions which are not intended to be applied within the meaning of the acceptance provisions of section 4.A1B of the general principles of the Codex Alimentarius. Now, the acceptance procedure does not exist anymore, and based on this consideration, the executive committee agreed to recommend removing the reference to the acceptance procedure in the relevant standards or annexes. And maybe I would pause here for a moment to see if the commission would concur with that conclusion on the acceptance statement. There's a second statement which I'm going to come in afterwards, the statement on voluntary application.
Thank you, Secretariat, for very clear explanation of the issue that we have on the table. I don't see any flags in the room. I take it that the Commission can accept what has been proposed by the Secretariat. So this is the conclusion. So we move immediately to the next item. The Secretariat, please continue.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. The second statement that we found in a number of annexes contained in Codex text, and the list of these annexes you can find, list of these standards you can find in the document 09328. This statement reads, this text is intended for voluntary application by commercial partners and not for application by governments. Now, this statement raised a little bit of concern because in relation to the status of Codex text within the framework of the WTO TBT agreement, at some point the CEO Committee on General Principles had agreed that all Codex texts, including standards and their annexes, were covered by the TBT definition of standard. So, and it was a bit doubtful whether it made sense to make reference to different applicability of different parts of Codex standards. The Executive Committee discussed this question, but could not reach an agreement on the deletion of the statement on voluntary application, as several members were of the opinion that the appropriateness of such a statement should be considered on a case-by-case basis. The committee then recommended that the matter be referred to the relevant committees in case they were active, which is the Committee on Fats and Oils and the Committee on Milk and Milk Products. And the other committee concerned by this statement is the Codex Committee on Sugars, which is presently adjourned, and in this case, the Executive Committee recommends that the Secretariat, in cooperation with the host government, United Kingdom, would draft a proposal for the standards for sugars and honey, and all the proposal would then be sent to all members through a letter. That was the conclusion on this statement. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Secretariat, do I have any comments? I see Chile. Chile, please.
Señor presidente, dado que en su momento las consultas fueron efectuadas tanto al Comité de Medidas Sanitarias y Fitosanitarias de la Organización Mundial de Comercio, como en este caso que estamos viendo ahora, al de obstáculos técnicos al comercio, la verdad que corresponde a los miembros decidir cuándo es o no es voluntario. Todas las normas que emite esta organización científica internacional son recomendaciones. Por tanto, el que sean voluntarias o no va a depender de los gobiernos, el que la adopten o establezcan alguna diferencia porque adoptan otra norma. Creo que es redundante poner el que sea voluntaria o no. No debería ir. Además, el trabajo para adelante siempre va a significar que tengamos que clasificarla en cuáles van a ser normas voluntarias y cuáles van a ser no voluntarias. Creo que es un trabajo de más para la Comisión. Gracias, señor Presidente.
Thank you, Chile. Is it Thailand? Thailand, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Thailand fully agrees with the recommendations of the Executive Committee on referring the matter relating to statement on voluntary application for consideration by relevant committees. We realize that the provision in the annex of some standards contain both essential and non-essential requirements. In this connection, we are of the view that each annex containing statement of voluntary application should be reviewed for the appropriateness of transferring some or all provision in the main body of the standard. Thank you, Chairman.
Thailand, and I see Argentina, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. En primer lugar, deseamos apoyar lo señalado por Chile. En respecto a que son los gobiernos los que en definitiva deberán evaluar qué parte de una norma aplican o no en su normativa nacional. Independientemente de eso, el Códex tiene que adoptar una decisión respecto a estas normas y a qué hacer con esas partes que eran indicaciones para los socios comerciales. Pareciera que lo que hay es una, o debería haber, es una clara decisión de eliminar cuanto menos la frase. Y en todo caso, lo que deberán decidir los miembros del Códex cuando analicen cada una de estas normas es si el texto comprendido dentro de la frase de aplicación voluntaria va a ser parte de una norma Códex o no. En este sentido, creemos que sería importante para la reflexión que antes de eliminar esas partes del texto y no incluirlas en una nueva norma, se tenga en cuenta el avance de las normas privadas, porque en definitiva, eliminar esas partes sería dar más lugar a las normas privadas cuando en realidad Códex ya ha avanzado en el camino de establecer disposiciones comerciales específicas que van más allá de lo esencial. Con lo cual, estamos de acuerdo en que se tiene que evaluar caso por caso, pero quisiéramos que quede una recomendación clara de la Comisión respecto a que el título de aplicación voluntaria sí o sí debe irse de las normas del Códex. Gracias.
Thank you, Argentina. Any more comments? Doesn't seem to be the case. I still don't see any more flags. I think we can conclude that we will take on board the comments that has been made by those delegations who took the words, and I think we can adopt the proposal being explained by the Secretariat. That will be my ruling. I don't see any opposition to that. So thank you very much to everybody. So we move immediately to the next point on the agenda, which will be presented by the Secretariat. Secretariat, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. If I'm hesitating, it's because I'm waiting for the light to go on. The second part is the references to the carryover principle of food additives in Volume 1 of the Codex Alimentarius. When reviewing Codex standards, we found that there were still quite a number of references made to the carryover principle in Volume 1. Which was adopted at the 17th session of the Commission in 1987. And now this Volume 1 is out of print presently, and the text is not easy to be referenced. And at the same time, if we look at the Codex GSFA, the General Standard for Food Additives, we find in the preamble, in Section 4 of the preamble, also a description of the carryover principle. And at the same time, we find a footnote 1 to the carryover principle in the Volume 1. Now, the Executive Committee looking at this felt that the General Standard for Food Additives should ideally be the sole reference point for food additives within Codex, and the Committee therefore agreed to recommend referring to the Committee on Food Additives the consideration to determine if it was necessary to revise Section 4 of the GSFA to take on board any of the differences that may be contained in the text, in the old text that was contained in the Volume 1, because the texts are a little bit different, and the Executive Committee was not in a position to take the decision of if any of those provisions would still maybe be necessary. So the question on whether the Section 4 needs to be enlarged in order to take on some of these provisions is recommended to be referred to the CCFA. The Executive Committee also agreed to recommend withdrawing the provisions on the carryover principle in Volume 1, just to make, as I said before, the GSFA the sole reference point within Codex to the carryover principle. And lastly, in order not to delay the updating of the standards, the committee also agreed to recommend that the Commission replace the reference to the carryover principle in Volume 1 in the standards, indicated in the working document. You find the list of standards right under 2.2 in the working document. In all those standards, to replace the reference to the correspondent provisions in Section 4 of the GSFA, and also to delete the footnote referring to Volume 1 in the GSFA, as this volume has now become unavailable, it's out of print. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Secretariat. Clear explanation of a bit complicated issue. I hope the Commission can accept the proposals being recommended by the Executive Committee. If that is the case, we can move on to the next agenda item in a few seconds, and I don't see any flags, so I think we can do that, and we can again thank the Secretariat for introducing the item, and we will... Oh, sorry, Chile, please.
Disculpe, señor presidente, no me pongo, pero solo es una aclaración, porque... Dentro del texto aparece en el punto 61.7 el análisis del uso del término autoridad competente. Y eso viene también después, en otro punto de la agenda, lo que proviene de otros comités. ¿Lo vamos a analizar acá o lo vamos a analizar después cuando venga los temas de otros comités a la comisión? Gracias, señor presidente.
Chile. I'm sorry, I'm not sure we got your point, so could you repeat your argument, please? Chile.
Señor presidente, voy a intentar hablar más lento ahora. En el punto 61, en el numeral 7, se dice el uso del término autoridad competente y hace una sugerencia de que este tema que se está viendo en el Comité de Etiquetado de Alimentos sea remitido con una definición general a principios generales. Luego, en otro punto de la agenda, está planteado exactamente lo mismo. Proviene del Comité de Etiquetado hacia esta comisión el que se pueda remitir esta definición general que existe en el Comité de Etiquetado a trabajo del Comité de Principios Generales para que tenga la comisión una definición de autoridad competente. Por tanto, mi consulta es si corresponde que nos pronunciemos ahora o nos pronunciemos después cuando veamos este tema. Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Chile. I give the word to the Secretariat, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Yes, as a matter of fact, as the delegation from Chile said at the last intervention, we're going to get to this point when we're going to discuss the use of term competent authority under point 7. So if you allow me, Mr. Chair, and if there's no other comment on the carryover principle, I would continue with point 3. Point 3, references, this is just for information, references to volume 2 in Codex text relating to pesticide residues. At the last session we had noted that still a number of Codex texts make reference to volume 2, which also is out of print and thus difficult to have for users of the standards, and therefore something needed to be done, but it was also found that the texts that are being referenced are still valid. So the Committee on Pesticide Residues looked at that and has requested the Secretariat to prepare a paper containing an analysis of these discrepancies in order to take a more informed decision on this matter at its next session. And I'm sure they're going to inform us on that, and this is the solution will be included in a future document on this question. Now, as this is for information only, I would continue directly to point 4, which is the Committee on Food Labeling. The first issue to be considered is the general standard for the labeling of prepackaged food, standard 1, 1985. And there, what has happened is that previously the Commission took the decision to adopt a revision of the class names and international numbering systems for food additives, including a revised list of functional classes in Section 2. That was done by the 31st session of the Commission. Now, the list that we have in that document is at this point different to the list from class titles that we have in the general standard for the labeling of prepackaged foods, Section 4.2.3.3. And the Committee on Food Labeling had already discussed, considered whether to align the two texts and whether this was editorial or substantive. Now, there was some discussion on that in the Food Labeling Committee. The Executive Committee, after its discussion, agreed to recommend to the Commission that the list in the general standard on food labeling should be aligned with the list in the Guideline 36, which is the class names and international numbering systems for food additives, and also that the matter of understandability of the names of functional classes should be referred to the Committee on Food Labeling, because it was mentioned within the Executive Committee that names like sequestrant were difficult to be understood by the consumer, and therefore this question was recommended to be referred to the Committee on Food Labeling by the Executive Committee. So two recommendations. The first, to align the two lists because at the moment they are not in harmony. At the moment they are they diverge. And the second, to refer the question on understandability of the names of functional classes to the Committee on Food Labeling. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretariat, for very, very clearly defining the two issues that is at stake in this on this agenda item. Does that call for remarks from the Commission? It does. I see a flag from the United Kingdom, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think on reflection from the discussion in the Executive Committee, I think we ought to recognize that when the Committee on Food Labeling gets to look at these different class names, it may decide that it's not sensible to align the two lists. So I think essentially, if the Commission agrees, we're giving this Committee on Food Labeling a new work item, which should be in the order of looking at the list and considering whether bringing in exactly the same list raises issues of a lack of clarity for labeling. So I think it's maybe just another way round to say the same thing. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, United Kingdom. Any further comments? See the Secretariat wish to speak, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just to come to a clear conclusion of the matter, my understanding was if we take on board the recommendation of the Executive Committee is that the list would be aligned, that this would be done. Basically, as in on an editorial basis. And the question of understandability would then be referred back to the Committee on Food Labeling as something new. So first to align in order to not to have two codex texts dealing with the same issues to be in disharmony, and second to refer the question of whether the consumer actually can deal with this information to the relevant committee dealing with this question. So I saw two questions there, whereas in the intervention from the OK, I heard more like that the list would also be referred back and then it would be aligned. So this is obviously an alternative solution, but I would wish us to be clear on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Secretariat. Obviously, we must be clear which issues we refer back to the food labeling. So are there any further requests for comments on the issue? I see two flags, first the EC and afterwards the United States of America. EC first, please.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Nous pensons que effectivement la liste des classes technologiques telles qu'elles ont été adoptées par la Commission l'an dernier suite à la proposition du Comité sur les additifs alimentaires ne peut pas être automatiquement transcrite dans la norme générale sur l'étiquetage des denrées préemballées. Ce doit faire l'objet d'une discussion au comité sur l'étiquetage pour décider quelle est l'information la plus pertinente à donner aux consommateurs. Donc nous sommes contre l'alignement automatique de ces deux listes. Merci beaucoup.
Thank you, EC. Could I ask the EC to explain what alternative solutions they would suggest if they don't accept the just aligning and then refer the issue of understandability to the Food Labeling Committee. I think it would be helpful if the EC could suggest or explain us what other solutions they would like. Is that possible?
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Donc, nous pensons que cette liste doit faire l'objet d'un nouveau travail par le comité sur l'étiquetage qui doit décider quelle est l'information la plus pertinente à donner aux consommateurs sur l'étiquetage. Donc il doit y avoir une discussion au CCFL sur ce sujet-là, et nous sommes opposés à l'alignement automatique de ces deux listes. Merci.
Thank you, EC. I think that was gave a clear picture of what the idea is by the EC. Then I would like to give the floor to the United States of America, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It was our understanding that in the discussion at the Codex Committee on Food Labeling that there was consensus that this was an editorial amendment in terms of the alignment, and we would support that. We do understand the understandability discussion and would support the conclusion of the Executive Committee that this particular aspect, not the alignment but the understandability, would be referred to CCFL for further discussion. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, United States. I see Tunisia. Tunisia, please.
بقى ذكرنا ذلك في لجنة تنفيذية فإن لجنة المعنية بتوسيم الأغذية هي مستعملة لهذه العبارات ولم تستنبطها وحتى القائمة القديمة تم أخذها بعد مشاورة لجنة الإضافات الغذائية لذلك الموائمة كما اقترحت الأمانة وكما اقترحت اللجنة التنفيذية فهي آلية بحكم أن هذه المفردات قد تم تغييرها ومسألة فهم المستهلك تطرح في مرحلة ثانية ووافق معناها التوصية الناتجة عن اللجنة التنفيذية شكرا
Thank you. Tunisia, I see a flag from the IDF. IDF, please.
Thank you, Chairman.